Hi, In 30 listeners. I am Justin Freed. This is episode 83 of In 30, and we are, of course, on in30.net and youtube.com/in30. Someone today asked me if it was N30, like the letter N and then 30. No, it's INTHIRTY. And I have two house cleaning matters to get through before we get into the show at large. First, thanks to Harry Marks, Haim, myself, and that podcaster on app.net. So if you're one of the lucky app.netters who is, wading through the morass of social media posts on the internet and found this bastion of happiness and congeniality on app.net, please join us. We have the same app.net handles as we do Twitter handles. So if you're looking for Haim of HaimTime.com, you can find him on app.net at what something? App.net/HaimTime, is that right?
Sure, but let's move on. We wasted a minute talking about
That's
this.
good because we gotta get some fluff in there. And if you're looking for Harry Marks of CuriousRap.com, you're going to want to go to app.net/HC Marks, right?
Correct.
All right. So now that we've got that out of the way, let's see if Harry and I can make Haim cry. That's the goal of today's show, right, Haim?
Sure.
Okay. So Haim, last year you were good enough to fly out to California, broadcast live from Google I/O, bring back some jelly beans and some other, crapola that you didn't want to share with us. This year, what happened? Tell us about Google I/O, generally speaking.
It's a long, long day. So Google, in order to stop the people from gaming the system and selling out in 20 minutes, like it did the last few years, they decided to implement this system where you reserve, just like Ticketmaster, a spot for you. It goes through the whole process, finds you a ticket. If you're lucky enough to get a ticket, you proceed next to Google Wallet. If you don't, it kicks you back out and you start the process again. Now, if you got a ticket, you have 5 minutes to complete the transaction.
For
That's
900
where,
bucks,
for
for 900,
$900, that's
yeah.
just to get in. That's just to walk through the door. But now you have that 5 minutes to complete the Google Wallet transaction. That's where the problem started. Google Wallet couldn't handle the load and ended up kicking people out of Google Wallet back into the generic pool, and that's when people got really upset.
Okay, and you were not selected even to be kicked out of Google Wallet. You got nothing, no love from Google.
Out of 7 tries, I got no love. 42
Yeah,
minutes.
according to the TechCrunch article by Darrell Etherington, so last year it took about under a little under 30 minutes to sell out. In 2011, it was almost an hour to sell out. This year it was 49 minutes, and according to the article, payment seems to have been the major hiccup this time around, with many users reporting getting hung up on the Google Wallet part of the registration process, which is the only accepted means of actually buying a ticket. Also, you need a Google Plus account. By contrast, users began reporting successful transactions only a good 30 to 40 minutes after registration began. So it looks like a lot of people got in just under the wire.
All right, so let's first, for our listeners, in case you're not super familiar with Google I/O, say that it's kind of like the Worldwide Developers Conference that Apple does, but Google style. I think
Yeah,
Mountain
it's a
View is north
developers
of
conference.
Cupertino, right? And for your 900 bucks, you're almost guaranteed some pretty swanky hardware, typically worth at retail a good deal more than the $900, right, Haim?
Yeah.
That was your experience last go around.
Well, if you added it up, it ended up being $1,235. So $1,235 if you sold everything retail.
Right. So
Okay,
you got a
we're not
Chromebook
in.
and a Chrome box and a Q, I think. Is that
Q and a Galaxy Nexus and Jelly Beans.
All right. So we in the show notes, we can put a link to it is almost a year ago now. It was May that you went to IO, right? Well, you can, if you're so inclined, you can
June
listen.
27th.
Okay.
Oh,
Haim,
that's
did
good.
you
That'll make it easy to find the old episode.
so Haim, this was a big deal for you, and do you feel like you are felt falling out of favor with Google or something? You were pretty
No,
impressed.
I gotta look. It's not the 5 steps of whatever it is, denial and self-hating and all that. I was definitely upset, but it was a lottery, and I failed the lottery. That's exactly what it was. I'm lucky enough not to even get past the Google Wallet phase, because I've now heard of people who got through the Google Wallet phase waiting for the confirmation, and the confirmation never came. So there is an even worse part. You get through, you pay for it, and now you wait for confirmation, and you're not getting it.
I think they're going to have some Googlers on their 20% time figure out a better way to do it for next year. Anyway, so we're going to stay on the topic of Google, but move on from the topic of Google I.O., Heim, because this is your very long day, even though you took a day off to do this. Anyway.
That's what makes it absolutely worse.
I know. Okay. You missed out, and then I wasn't in town to get lunch with you. So it was really a bad, bad day. What is the we're gonna just heap it onto Google today then. So we're going to do spring cleaning with Google.
Not yet. Not yet. We gotta talk about a huge famous departure from the Android team.
What Heim. All right. Go ahead, Heim.
Okay. Larry Page, Google CEO, posted around noon today an update from the CEO. We're saying Andy Rubin is leaving the Android team, and it's going to be stepped up by Sundar. I can't pronounce his last name.
Pichai.
And his, which is, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but Andy Rubin has been the Guy Kawasaki of Apple.
Is such a terrible kind of Apple figurehead. He has like no technical credibility at all. He's like a,
well, Andy Rubin knew what he was talking about, and he did. From what I remember, he came from WebOS, but his goal, and he's done a good job, is to sell Android, to get Android, and I think he's done a good job. Especially with 4.0 moving forward.
This new guy, though, is responsible for Chrome. And I remember when Chrome was first announced, I said to myself, this is ridiculous. I don't understand why Google needs a browser, except if it's going to be in lieu of an operating system, which it turns out that's not even to be the case. But this guy got Chrome off the ground, a really ambitious kind of project to take on Firefox and Internet Explorer and Opera, and he did it. And I think Chrome is a great piece of software now. And I think that the underpinnings of Chrome, the guy that developed those, is going to do a really good job with Android. And I also suspect at some point Chrome OS is going to effectively be the Android release that Google blesses. That Chrome is going to become the browser and operating system, and Android is going to become the underlying technology. Kind of like Linux versus Ubuntu. That Linux, even though Android is a step removed from Linux, it's kind of like, I think you get the idea, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, because you look at something like the Chromebook Pixel, which was unveiled by Pichai last month. That's a touchscreen laptop running Chrome OS. I would not be surprised if later on down the road you saw these two things merged into one, and it was a Chromebook Pixel running Android apps.
So, do we all agree then across the board here at N30 that Chrome is kind of the branding that Google is going to go forward with? That it's going to be Google Chrome is going to be kind of like Microsoft Windows.
I mean, it seems that way because Chrome is owned by Google. It puts it, Samsung will put Chrome on a Chromebook, or Samsung will work with Google to make a Chromebook, but it's not the same as Android, which is being skinned by Amazon and Samsung and Acer and Motorola, which is now part of Google anyway, but like all these other OEMs are doing something with Android, and some aren't even telling customers that it runs Android, like the case of the Kindle Fire. So I wouldn't be surprised if eventually all of this got merged into one, and it was Google Chrome OS, which used to be Android.
Okay, I think that Android will remain as the technical underpinning of it, and then we'll have the Nexus hardware line and the Chrome software line.
But there's a branding issue and a fragmentation issue, and I think Google would want to sort of get behind that or get in front of that and really put a stop to it. So if they're not going to get rid of the Android brand, I could see them reeling it in from the other OEMs.
Han, you want to weigh in here?
Well, I like the idea that we talk about Android being the phone technology and Google's skin being Chrome. And I think that's what we're trying to get on.
Sort of.
Yeah. So Android is the technology behind it, like you said, and then you have Chrome. The problem is I don't know where we're moving forward, where the Chromebook fits in with Chrome OS, fits in with Android, because they are different in weird ways. They are the same, but they are different.
And iOS and OS 10.
Well, yeah, but you look at the Chromebook, specifically the Chromebook Pixel, because it's apparently the best laptop you shouldn't buy. It's extremely expensive for what you're getting, which is just a web browser. You're not even getting real storage on it. It's got a beautiful screen, even better than some of the Retina MacBook Pros. It's, you know, it's got a great look to it. It's an excellent device, but it's so expensive, and all it is a web browser. So get something else. So I feel like they need to do something more with it. If you're getting a $200 Chromebook, that's one thing, but a $2,000 laptop needs a lot more.
First, it's a good deal less expensive than $2,000, but it's kind of a Trojan horse thing here, because what Google is saying is that we can make a great piece of hardware, and the fact is that you can install whatever you want on it once you get it. It is not in any way locked to Chrome OS. So the idea that it's like this kind of it's this doorstop if you're not on the internet is not true, because you can install any operating system you want. You can dual boot it. You can replace the solid state drive in it and still have this kind of shell, which is really beautiful and in some ways better than, you know, anything that's on the market if you want to kind of customize your own laptop or your own,
yeah,
your own
but
software.
You, yes, you can install anything on it, but it's if it comes, what does it come with, a 32 gigabyte hard drive or 64? If
32
if you
gig
pay.
Solid state with right, a so terabyte time, of cloud storage.
Yeah, but if you install a full-size operating system on it, you cut out 10 to 15 gigabytes right there. And if you're not on the internet, then you lose that ability.
Swapping the SSD is not going to be a big deal. And my prediction is that, especially the OS X86 community, the guys that try to put OS 10 on anything that runs X86 or X64, if you want to say be really specific, will have OS 10 running on the Chromebook Pixel lickety split. That's my prediction.
Oh, at least it would then be more usable.
Well, then you're going to really want one. Then you're going to be the coolest hipster in the coffee shop if you say, "Hey."
Oh no! I saw the coolest hipster in the coffee shop, and it's a schmucko who decided to bring a portable typewriter with him. And I'll put the picture
really?
In the show notes. Yeah, I'll put the picture in. And even I'm not that douchey to do it, and I use a typewriter.
Did he have a film crew with him? Did he was he was there someone like putting everything that he did on Instagram or something? I mean, how ridiculous.
Was he standing at his desk?
No, he was not.
This was not. Was he dressed like Ernest Hemingway? Did he have a beard? Of course, he had a beard, right?
I believe he did.
All right.
Or a goatee. Yeah. For the Lincoln.
I'm sure he had a
few. Wait, Harry. So you're saying the guy had a goatee, was in New York City, and uses a typewriter? Things that make you go.
He's a creative writing major. All right, move
on. Does he work for some sort of rat-based website?
No.
He probably does, though. That's the thing. His website is like is interestedrodent.org or something. That's going to be the killer, Harry. Okay, so we're 10 minutes in, Haim. Am I guessing right?
We're at 12 and a half.
Whoa. Okay, I was off by 2 minutes. So we're going to get to this kind of spring cleaning list that Google was good enough to grace the internet with today. You pick the worst
office. No. So after failing at I.O., then hearing that Google evangelist Andy Rubin is stepping away from Android, how could my day get any worse other than Justin not wanting to go out to lunch with me? It just got worse.
Okay.
So spring cleaning. So Larry Page or Sergey, whoever it is, Ars Holzi with the Oomplots, SVP Technical Infrastructure and Google
with
Fellow.
With the Oompa Loompas. I believe it's Umlaut, but okay.
Okay. I'm sorry. He tells us a whole bunch of not things you've never heard of before are going to be deprecated or stopped.
True.
But the one thing in the middle, Google Reader, will end in July.
All right, Harry, you take us through this now. The rest of it, please.
This just happened, you know, like an hour and a half ago that we got this notice. But I'm just pasting in the link for the show notes. I found the typewriter guy. So they announced on the official Google blog that Google Reader's being retired on July 1st. They're saying there are two reasons for doing this. Usage of Google Reader has declined, and as a company, we're pouring all of our energy into products. Yeah, that's
bullshit.
Here's what it comes down to. Google Reader has a perfectly fine following. I guarantee it. A lot of people use it. What it is they can't pump ads into it, and so they're putting their money where their ads are. Google Reader's going to go away. Honestly, I was more surprised FeedBurner is still around. I thought that would be the first thing they'd kill off, not Google Reader.
Okay, Google Reader looks super janky.
It has been neglected.
It is a little, you know, it's a kind of technical heavyweight in the sense that I have probably 1,200 RSS feeds that are parsed through it, and I can Good still God. Manage to get through the ones. But the stuff that I want rises to the surface. Maybe I'm missing all the really important news and I just don't know it. But that being said, it has not been it is a garden that has not been well maintained over the years. I don't think it's they can easily put ads in RSS feeds. Every tenth story they throw in an AdWords ad. It's not that big a deal. I think they don't like RSS. I think that they feel that RSS is kind of a deprecated technology in and of itself, and it kind of says to people, move to Google Plus. You want these kind of like micro stories, get them in what's hot now on Google
Plus. Oh, that too. Yeah, that's a big thing. They want to push people to Google Plus. They're tying Google Plus into everything they do now. So I'm not surprised that this is going away. And luckily here's the problem. Google Reader got really big several years ago, like 2004 or 2005, and suddenly all development stopped on doing RSS services that would compete with it because Google Reader was really the only game in town. So luckily, there are other options in place. There's something called NewsBlur, and there's Fever, which I know a lot of people really like. I keep seeing it in my...
There are tons of really beautiful RSS-type news readers that parse news from all over the web.
Because of the iPhone and Android, there are a lot more, but for a while, when they were just web-based, there weren't a lot.
So, Haim, what is the big thing that the internet and that you are losing with Google Reader going bye-bye this summer?
Well, Harry turned me on to a program called Reader, which uses the Google Reader backend. Pocket, which is a pretty good app, uses the Google Reader backend. Mobile RSS uses the Google Reader backend. So you see the thing that's going forward. They're all using the Google Reader backend, and I think that's what's getting people upset. It's right. not that Google Reader is going away. Look, it's supposed to how. I don't care that it was neglected. Who cares as long as is it was there. Now we just don't have a replacement, and now we have until July to get one.
My guess is that by July 1st, there's a possibility that we can reinterpret this spring cleaning message to mean that the web interface of Google Reader is going away, and that Google is going to maintain some type of support for the third-party GUIs that are on top of it.
There are other solutions out there. There's NewsBlur. I use a program on my iPhone called Zeet, which is like a personal magazine. You just feed it websites you like to read, and it pulls in the stories.
Flipboard is the de facto
Flipboard, too,
magazine.
Yeah.
But I don't want that.
Hold, there's one called Fever that I was trying to say before that a lot of people really like. I see it in my logs on my website. A lot of people use this. And what it is that you purchase Fever. It's like $36, but it's a flat fee. That's it. And then you actually host it somewhere. You can host it on Rackspace or Amazon or whatever. But what happens is you install it, and then it goes through your RSS feeds, and it pulls the stuff that's everybody's talking about, and it pops the article or two that you're supposed to read on this topic, and then everything else gets fed below that. So what it does is it brings the cream to the top and puts the crap all the way at the bottom. And it's a lot of people seem to dig it. They really like the way they get their RSS that way.
All right, first spell it.
It's Fever, Fever.
Okay, I thought I had
I'll put a link in the show notes. Yeah, Sean Inman is the developer of it.
I thought it was going to be like F-E-E-V-R or something. Okay, no. What is the algorithm that's at work that makes the cream rise to the top, though? I mean, that's the worrisome part. And the thing is, if it's self-hosted, presumably it doesn't have an aggregate idea of what all the other Fever users think is the most important article. So I don't know how that's, you know, how it determines that. And the fact that you have to create your own your own colo space for it is a little much, frankly.
Well, I know a few people. One of my co-hosts on The Impromptu uses it. He says he pays like I think it's like 20 cents a month to run the stupid thing. Like it's so low resources. It's
That's
incredible.
20 cents more per month that I don't want to spend.
Yeah, okay. But at least you're paying for something and you know what you're getting, unlike Google, which could just deprecate an entire application at the drop of a hat.
Look, I can't complain about that.
Not if you own it. That's just it. You're paying for it. So while it may not be updated ever again, at least for the time being, it will work.
I mean, that's like, it's the same
thing. Well, let's continue. See, the problem is...
You can say the same thing about app.net or any service you pay for. One day it may go under and that's it and you have to find something else. But for the time being, you're investing in this product. It's yours. You own it. You can do what you want with it.
But what is the significant difference between that and using Google Reader for free, which can also disappear?
Well, Google Reader, you have no say in what happens.
Well, I mean that's it's the same way here. I mean, you know, if you that seems like it's the same thing, and in one case you're paying, you're not the significant difference is not kind of rising to the surface here. All right.
The problem is that it's not. I look at pictures of cats. I don't need the best cats to rise to the top. I want to quickly hit J to go through it. I read a lot of just headlines. Gawker, you can't read every headline, otherwise you'll go crazy. So I don't want the good stuff, which there isn't anything of Gawker to rise to the top. I just quickly just want the headlines, and if I find it interesting. Now, here's the thing. If all these websites then turn into a Google Plus bot and I can follow them, that may be a solution. But it still doesn't go with, I want to read 100 news items in less than 30 seconds.
Yeah, but here's the problem with that. The way RSS works now, and it's something I've always really just not been able to stand, is that whole river of news is frustrating to go through. If you're like Justin and you've got 1,200 feeds, what a mess that has to be to go through. I would declare bankruptcy every day. Mark all as read. Let's start again tomorrow. At least with Fever, you're getting something that's trying to algorithmically figure out what you like and what everybody else is reading based on what you've subscribed to already. It's not like it pumps feeds in for you, but it says, here are the topics people are talking about from what you're subscribed to. Read these.
Okay, so the issue is that these algorithms, and it's the same concept of machine learning that's at work like at Amazon.com, the recommendations seem really good, and of course you don't know what you're missing anytime that there's an algorithmically generated choice, but you run the risk of your bubble getting ever smaller because there is now everything you see is basically at the whim of the hive mind. So it's a complicated issue, and it's not that Fever is the only one that's using an algorithm to determine what you ought to read. It's that you want to determine who has the best algorithm, or you want to have faith in someone. If you want to have faith in Fever, fine, or Flipboard, or whomever. That's how it's done.
Right, but actually, Justin, for someone like you, this is why it's great, because the more feeds you follow, then the better choices you get. If you only follow 5 blogs, then there's no point in getting something like this. This is for someone who follows 50 to 100 to 1,200 blogs at one given time and says, there's so much to sift through here. What is it I absolutely have to look at? Also, you're getting the ability to blacklist domains to prevent ad spam. You are getting keyboard shortcuts. You're getting all these management options. You're getting a lot more granularity than you do on Google Reader. You're getting
all right,
more
so
control
let's,
here.
Let's make that be the last word on the Google Reader retirement.
Hell with all of you.
All right. Haim, you want to take us through the next item on the spring cleaning list that also made you upset?
Snapseed for desktop Mac and Windows. Because I am I'm a photographer. And Snapseed on the desktop, which was part of NIC, Google acquired it. And one of the things they were asked is don't touch it.
Isn't it Picnic? Was that
No. NIC, NIC was is still a company that does filters. They have their own software, photo editing, kind of like Photoshop. It's more of a plugin. And they made Snapseed, and Google picked them up. And one of the things they said everyone's hoping is don't kill it, and they did.
So it's still available as an iOS and Android app. Is that right?
Yeah, but do you edit photos on your Android? No. I don't sit there, and I really don't.
As a matter of course, I download every iOS app that Google produces. So I have Snapseed on my phone. For that matter, there's also a weird Google app that they just released on iOS called Field Trip. I'll leave it to you two to figure out what that does. But
Field
anyway.
Trip is created by the same guys who run Ingress and Niantic Labs, and that's okay. The precursor for it.
It's funny you mentioned this, because I was editing, not in Snapseed, but on my phone this afternoon. I was actually editing a photo in iPhoto on my iPhone. I really enjoy it. On the iPad more, because there's more room, but I don't mind editing photos.
Was it a picture of a guy at a coffee shop with a typewriter?
No, it was a New York City skyline.
All right, fair enough. Well, I mean, Google is then what? Just less and less interested in desktop class software. They want it to be in the browser. Probably the Snapseed technology is going to be migrated into photos.google.com or plus.google.com, right?
I wouldn't be surprised.
While we're on the subject of photos.google.com, Picasso web albums have shut down and are now redirecting everyone to photos.google.com. Another sad face.
It's all funneling into Google Plus.
I'm okay with that. I really am not complaining.
It's not a
conspiracy,
Harry. It is the way things ought to work, because this idea that you have these silos of data is kind of old school. And when I use things like cloud magic to search all of my cloud storage and all of my email accounts and all of my calendars, and that's how I want it. And I, at some level, I would prefer that Google do that for me, but right now I'm okay. I prefer cloud magic to queue, but that's another story entirely. All right, let's
okay,
go back
next.
To the cleaning list.
Okay, since Harry's the only one that actually uses a BlackBerry, the Google Voice app for BlackBerry is now gone.
All right.
Eh, well, I don't use Google Voice on my BlackBerry.
Look,
so.
But people do. People want that as their, I don't know, alternative. Well, and the Z10 is launching this week for $199.
Do you think they're going to kill Google Voice?
There's a good chance, or they're going to make it. You have to pay for it. The thing is, people have integrated Google Voice really firmly, some of them into their businesses, and the pushback from completely destroying it would be enormous, and Google owns all of these phone numbers. They could just roll it into, after a year, a pay-for service. That's what they could do. But let's go back to the BlackBerry for a second. Do you guys even know if the Z10 runs the old-school BlackBerry marketplace software? I don't think it does, right?
I don't think it does. I think it runs their new BlackBerry app world, whatever it is.
So it wouldn't run this anyway, right, Haim?
Well, it does run Android apps and some VM, so maybe that's why they're killing it, because you can just run in the Android VM.
All right, I mean, that's ever more complicated. Okay, how far into the show are we?
We have 4 minutes. The last one.
Let's do this. Before we get to the last 30 seconds of the show, we're going to take a little interstitial whereby Harry tells everyone why it's so important for you to review us on iTunes. And I agree with Harry on this point. Haim,
because I want to knock 5x5 down a peg, at least one of their shows, and now they have a lot more because they just acquired the 70 Decibels Network. Congratulations to them, because I'm friends with a couple of the guys there, and they're a great group of guys, and good for them. Good for 5x5. It's a great network. But listen to us too, and leave us reviews on iTunes. The more reviews we get, the more they bump us up into the new and noteworthy. And honestly, all I want is to get some more recognition for the show. That's real. I don't care if I bump 5x5 down.
We're not even asking for good reviews. That's the thing. We're
no,
not even saying, give us five
matter.
Stars.
It
just
doesn't
give,
matter.
Give us
it's
one
all numbers.
Star.
It's all,
No. Don't give us one star. Just review us, honestly. Okay. And I want to thank Pocket Cast for featuring us in their featured section, because now we did get a lot of bump traffic from them.
All right, so thanks again to them. And they, of course, have that nice little, that what, jelly, Scooby-Doo, what is that?
Shifty name? Jelly. Shifty Jelly.
Okay. I'll thank throw you. A link.
Thank you. Okay. So, Haim, we have now three minutes or so left.
Yes, but last thing, and Justin and I were arguing about this, is CalDAV. Specifically from the show last week, where Justin has to do all these machinations and jailbreak his phone just so he can use an iPhone 5 and his white headphones. CalDAV API, which I think Justin's right about.
I wish I could flick you off right now.
It's okay, you can.
Yeah, okay.
You could use your iPhone. Your finger will hide behind it.
Okay.
Right. They're deprecating CalDAV API, which I think, I don't know if that's useful or not useful.
Okay, so the point is that there's a Google rolled standard to replace. That's the thing. There's something called Google Calendar API. CalDAV is an open internet-wide standard. Google Calendar API portion works for Google products. My expectation is that the flow of information between consumer end user devices and the cloud can still use CalDAV. It's just that new apps will not be able to. That's what it sounds like to me based on that, right? So there were some other things on that list, Time. Is there anything we need to get through in the last minute?
Google
or
Now
so
for iOS, I want to just touch on very quickly. A video
I
popped up on
you.
The Verge. Yeah, a video popped up on YouTube. The Verge had it, Engadget had it. That Google Now would possibly be coming to the Google search application. I don't know if it was true or if it was just like a mock-up of something, but I loved it, and I want to see it, and I want it now.
If you have to replace Siri.
It is what's going to happen. I think that is exactly what's going to happen. There are already some underpinnings, things that allude to it in the Google search app for iOS, which is woefully underused, even though it's pretty cool. But I think that that's where that technology is going to end up, and that is what will happen. That will make time. This is the closing question. Will Google Now on iOS make up for all of the things that Google, all of the transgressions that Google committed today?
I could care less what they do on iOS.
All right. So the answer is no. You heard it from Haim Time himself that Google, you're off the love list from Haim Time. It's bad. You're bad.
Well,
bad.
He's just upset because our apps look better. The Google apps on iOS look better than the ones on Android.
And Haim, it's okay. After the show ends, you can go cry. It's okay. It doesn't make you less of a tech nerd. All right.
Know.
This has been episode 83 of In 30. Thank you very much for listening. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.